to be revelatory, revelation means to uncover or to reveal that which is hidden. To uncover or reveal that which is hidden. And revelation pertains to the unseen and the eternal, but relevant always pertains to the seen or present circumstance. And so much of our society is reaction. Something happens, they react. Something happens, we react. And you know, too often the time, that's the way believers can become conditioned. We can become conditioned to react to the circumstance, to react to things, rather than being those who have a revelation of the eternal and the unseen. And so you know what that does? That puts us in a position where we are in control, not the circumstance. It's where then the kingdom of God is dictating our life. The kingdom of God is dictating who we are and what we do, not our circumstances. You know, it's so easy sometimes to let our circumstances limit us, isn't it? I've done it. You've done it. We probably all have done it. We look at our circumstance around us. We look at things around us. And, you know, and the circumstance says, okay, now, if you're going to be real about this and we're going to be relevant up to date, I'm telling you what, you know, the circumstance says is we can't. We can't do it. We can't go there. We can't be that. We can't accomplish this. We can't do what God called us to do. But if we have a revelation, we understand all of a sudden we begin to see into the kingdom of God. We have an understanding about the ways and the purpose of God, about the call of God. When we move into revelation, we're moving into God territory, Brother Bruce. We're moving into God territory, Gary. We're moving into that place where God is able to shape the seen by the power of the unseen. And that's where we're to be living. So that's what I mean, that we're not called to be relevant so much as we are to be revealers. Revealers of God. Revealers of God's purpose. Revealers of God's kingdom. Amen? In the kingdom of God, we are to operate by revelation. Now here's the thing. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without a revelation. You have to have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed of God. You know, I know all kinds of people that know in their head to a degree. They'll agree with you that Jesus, you know, he was a teacher, he was a prophet, and he probably was even the Son of God. But you know what? That won't save you. It takes what? A revelation. And a revelation moves past the head into the heart, the spirit of man. And there is a knowing, an enlightenment, an absolute certainty of knowledge that comes out of revelation that will never come out of head knowledge and just being relevant. And here is where we are to be living. And if we are not living there, then I'm going to tell you what, we will be just like the rest of the world. You know, the circumstances and all of life that comes against us will determine how we live. It will determine whether we have peace, whether we have joy, whether, you know, we have faith. It's dependent on it. Because listen, once you get a revelation of who Christ is, I'm telling you what, your days of defeat are over. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. Listen to this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Boy, nothing's changed much, has it? You know, if you were to stop today and take a poll, if you went down on the corner here in Boynton or in West Palm or Delray and you just did an, you know, sit there with a clipboard, you know, like they do sometimes, they catch you in the mall, you know, taking those surveys. I wonder what responses you would get. Say, hey, I'm just taking an informal survey here. Who do you think Jesus is? I bet you'd get all kind of answers just like Jesus got here, wouldn't it? I mean, the disciples have been hearing what everybody said. Oh, man, you know, everybody had an opinion. But now here's where we cut to the chase. But Jesus went on to say, but what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And isn't that really where the bottom line is for our lives? It's not what the political parties say. The church, we're getting all up to, oh, they're not talking enough about God, in this convention or that convention or whatever. Listen, they don't have a revelation of who Jesus is. He's just an expediency for many of them. He's just another teacher, another prophet, one among many. Why? Because all they're trying to be is relevant. Oh, right now it's popular to kind of be a little religious. So we'll do that. We'll throw Jesus in with the rest of the bunch. But listen, to us who have a revelation and we know who He is, we cannot back up from it. Listen, Simon Peter answered. Boy, don't you love Peter? Man, I'll tell you what. He was either right or wrong, but bless God, you knew where he stood, didn't you? My kind of guy. Listen, Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed, uncovered to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." This is what I'm talking about. We are called to be revelatory. We are to have the eternal truths, the eternal realities of heaven revealed to us with an unshakable knowledge and knowing about God, about Jesus, about our call and about our purpose. And it's so unshakable. Listen, it was so unshakable in the early days of the church, they would die before they'd back up. Wow. Why did they change the world? They had a revelation. Notice what Jesus goes on to say. He said, "You received this, what? By my Father." Listen, man can't give you a revelation. It has to come from the Spirit of God. And until you get it, you ain't got it. I know that's simple, but that's just the way it is, isn't it? He said, "I tell you, Peter." Yeah, he said, "I tell you, you are Peter, little stone, and on this rock I will build my church." What rock? The rock of revelation. Yeah. Yeah. Not Peter. Peter means little rock. This word rock is the rock of what? The revelation. Yeah. Uh-huh. The only thing, listen, we sang the song, "Upon this rock I will stand." What rock? The rock of revelation. Yeah. You've got to answer this same question. This same question. Who is Jesus, the Son of God? We've got to live out our lives by the revelation of God, church. That's the only thing that will keep us steady, keep us focused, keep us unwavering, that we will understand our call and our purpose in God is when we get a revelation. Because he said that's the only rock that he's going to build on. We want to grow up in God. We want to be all that God's called us to be. We want to accomplish all that God's called us to accomplish. This is where it starts. It starts by first having a revelation from God to us about who He is, who Jesus is in us. Who is He? Jesus declared, "The Father's revealed this to you." And he said, "This is the rock we're going to build on." So here's the thing. We must come to the place, church, where we rely on the revealed truth and will of God in order to build our lives appropriately. Listen, you start trying to be relevant, and I'm going to tell you what. You're going to go with the shifting sands and mores and the popularity and what's expedient and everything else today. But listen, when we've got the revelation, people don't understand us as believers. We have a revelation from heaven. I'm not talking about, some people think, Christianity is just another nice philosophy like any other philosophy or religion. People can't understand. Listen, I know God. I don't know about God. I'm not following some nice little theological teaching, some stuff in my head. I know God. He's real. I know Him. He's in my life. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. He's real to me. He's living. He's a reality. That's the revelation I'm talking about. When you get it that way, nothing can move you. Nothing can move you. That's where God wants to bring us to. If we're not already at that place, He wants to bring us there. And of course, it starts with the Son, the person of Jesus Christ. And then He wants to build on that rock of revelation. The Bible teaches us this. As you have begun your walk in Christ Jesus, how did you begin it? Out of your wisdom, your great vast storehouse. of understanding up here of the great, deep truths of God. No. You got a simple revelation from the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. And there was a divine deposit put on the inside of you. And now that is what God is building upon now. That revelation unfolding to us. The revelation. Listen. Relevant has to do with the particular time and place and situation and circumstance. But revelation is true no matter what the time, no matter what the place, no matter what the circumstance. Amen. In the midst of the storm, Jesus is still my peace. In the midst of all hell breaking out, Jesus is still my deliverer. No matter what sickness or disease may come against and attack me, Jesus is still my healer. You get something on the inside of you like that, Garrett, bless God. Tell you what, hell don't have enough dynamite to blast that out of you. Amen? Listen. We've got to move beyond the facts and build our life on revelation. If I asked you today, what are the facts in your life? Man, we could list them all, couldn't we? You know, we could get us a little list here. We could draw us a line down the middle. Pros and cons, the facts of my life. Isn't that right? And we could list over here what right now are the assets concerning our life, and we can list over here what are what's against us, what's on the debit side, and we could list all those. And you know what? All those would be true, but you know what those are? None of those are revelation. That's facts. Those are facts, and they are real. But listen, revelation is more real. Revelation of who Jesus is greater. That's why he says that I have come that what? You're going to have life and have it more abundantly. Because revelation will always overcome facts. And if we're not at that place yet, then we need to stay in the Word and in prayer till we get the revelation. Amen? Turn over to John 16. Hallelujah. John 16, verse 13. Notice what Jesus is speaking here. The Holy Spirit says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will show you what is yet to come. What is one of the great purposes of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It is to bring forth this revelation of who the Christ is inside us. Who is Jesus on the inside of us? Who is he on the inside of us, Gary? Is he just a hitchhiking through life? Is it just a nice sentiment? Does he just give us nice little, you know, little goosebumps and little feelings and little warm fuzzies, and that's all he does? And once in a while we may really have a goosebump or two. No, listen, the Holy Spirit has come to reveal who Jesus is on the inside of us. The own unfolding of who he is and what he has called us to do and what he wants to work through us. The purposes and plans of God. This is what he's here for. Listen, he's revealed in us so that he may be revealed through us. Turn over, if you will, again, another scripture here in Acts 13. You know, I believe in the importance of teaching and preaching. God put that in the body of Christ. He put those gifts in here. But I want to tell you something. The purpose of all of that is to bring you to a point of revelation. It's not just to fill your notebooks with notes on sermons. It is to bring forth, to aid you and to help you with the Holy Spirit to bring forth what? Revelation in your life. Because once you get the revelation, nothing can take it from you. Nothing can uproot it. There's not a test. There's not a trial. There's not a circumstance. There's not a devil. There's not one person that can talk you out of you. You can't do it. Can't do it. That's the reason you can't quit. You ever wanted to quit and you can't? You can't. Why? Because you got the revelation. Remember Jesus. Another time Jesus was preaching, he was talking about, he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, remember that? Yeah. Yeah. Boy, That one went over great. Man, it said the multitudes left him. He turned to Peter and said, and the rest of them, he said, you going to leave too? But notice, Peter had a revelation, didn't he? He had a revelation. He said, Lord, they didn't understand it any more than the ones that left did. They didn't understand what he was trying to teach them. But he said, Lord, he said, where are we going to go? He said, you're the bread of life. He had a revelation. His flesh didn't understand it. His flesh wanted to give up, but he couldn't. He had a revelation. He said, you're the Christ of God. Listen, get it settled on the inside of you. Settle it. Amen. Listen, in Acts 13, notice here, verse 1, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Listen, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, pause there and let you think on that, Selah, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Listen, after a revelation of who the Christ is, who Jesus is, the next thing God wants to deal with us is he wants to reveal his purpose. His purpose in our life. Notice this. It says as they waited on the Lord, as they prayed and fasted, just like you've been doing, as they worshiped the Lord, in that type of situation and atmosphere, it says the Holy Spirit said. He said something that changed their direction. He said something that changed their purpose and their destiny forever. He said something that launched them out in a ministry that changed the world. What has the Holy Spirit said to you? You know, here's the thing. The more we live out of revelation, the more we experience the supernaturalness of God. Are you listening? And listen, we need to be careful that, you know, you can go, you know, revelation is kind of like that angelic food. Remember the prophet ate that angel food? Angel food cake, first one. And boy, it must have been some kind of good. He ate that. And it says he went on the strength of that 40 days. Woo, wouldn't you like to, boy, wouldn't a nutritionist like to get that recipe? You talk about fortified with vitamins and minerals. Woo, the first energy bar. 40-day energy bar, Gary. But you know, revelations like that. When you get a fresh revelation, you get a fresh word from God, you know what happens? Man, you grab hold of that thing, and all of a sudden, something on the inside, God on the inside stands up on the inside of you. Faith on the inside stands up on the inside of you. Man, you're like, bless God, bring it on, man. I'm ready. I'm ready to take on the giant. I'm ready to take on this circumstance. I'm ready to take on whatever may be facing me. Amen. You want to come up here?
Yeah, I feel like I've just had one of those energy bars this morning. Praise God. You know, when we get a revelation, especially those of us who've been in the Lord for, you know, 10, 20 years or something, you get a revelation a long time ago, and nobody can take that revelation from you. It's true. But I will say this, those revelations can become clouded sometimes when the circumstances of life come against us, when people are not acting the way you want them to act, you know, whatever it may be, those things become clouded to you. And so what you have to do is you got to allow that Holy Spirit to speak back to you and to tell you and remind you. That's what happened to me this morning. I want to tell you what happened this morning. I was getting ready, and he always does this when I'm getting ready, when I don't have time. But this is what he told me. He said, you know, we need to, it doesn't matter whether you're sick or whether you're well. you need a spiritual checkup. You need a checkup. Let's talk about the natural first. I mean, it's wisdom to go to the doctor once in a while, whether you're sick or whether you're well, so that they can check up, you know, so they can take your pulse, so they can take your blood pressure, so they can just check you out and tell you and confirm, you know, that everything's okay, or to show you something that you need to do to correct that, right? Okay, well, Jesus also wants us to take a spiritual checkup from time to time, periodically, and he doesn't make the appointment for us. You have to initiate it. You know, so we come to God and we say, God, you know, I need you to, you know, tell me what I need to do. What is this you want me to do to correct where I am? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get back where I was. Okay. So, you know, we come to Jesus because he's the great physician. He's the one who can prescribe just what you need to get you back on track again. Amen. Amen. You know, and so, I don't know where I'm getting from here to there. I've got notes scribbled everywhere, you know, so God help me. But here's my revelation to you. You know, how big is your God? How big is your God? You know, is he big enough just to cure some cancers at certain stages? Or is he big enough to take care of whatever problem it is?
Yes.
In you or anybody else?
Yes.
Is he big enough to work when everybody around you at church or in your workplace is doing just what they're supposed to do? Is he only big enough to work in those situations? Or is he big enough to work and use you as a catalyst for change, to bring about godliness in your place, in your workplace, in your surroundings, and other people, and to encourage them? How big is your God? Is he big enough? Hallelujah.
Just put them on.
Okay. Is he big enough? Is he big enough to work in your marriage only when your spouse is acting the way you want him to?
Uh-oh. You going there, huh?
Or is there something that you can do first? You know, how big is your God? I want to tell you today, guys, I serve a great big God. And
yes,
there is no problem,
yes,
in heaven,
thank
or on
Lord,
earth that is too big for God.
That's right, huh?
We serve a great big God.
Come on.
And I just want to remind you of that.
Amen.
Because that is a revelation I had a long time ago. And you know what? It got kind of faded. You know what I'm saying? Because when the circumstances came against me, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if God can handle this. This is a pretty tough one. God, can you handle this? You know, and the Holy Spirit just prompted me, how big is your God?
Come on.
How big is your God?
Come on.
Am I big enough for you? He said to me. I said, yes, Lord. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Because like he was saying, we operate on revelation. That's the fire in me now. Every time I come against a situation where it's a hard situation, I'm going to go back and think, how big is my God? I serve a great big God.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah, give her a hand. That's good. Hallelujah. I want to, so much we could share about this. I'm going to share three important revelations that we need. Just before we do that, turn over to Galatians real quick, Galatians chapter 1. We're talking about living our lives out of the revelation of God. That is what we're called to do. Listen, the thing about revelation, so many things we could say, but one thing about revelation is it's always fresh. When you get a revelation about God, about the truth of the kingdom of God, it's always fresh. It's always real. That's the way eternal things are. You know, they don't get, you know, like Cindy's saying now, sometimes we can kind of lay them down and let some other things get there. But listen, if we will maintain and walk in the truth that God gives us, they stay fresh. They stay alive. They stay powerful. I want you to notice something here in Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul, verse 15. He says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult with flesh and blood. Ooh. You know, it's great, you know, to have people that you can bounce things off of and you can talk to and have wise counselors around you. But I want to tell you what, there is an arena where it's just you and God. Just like Paul was saying here, he said, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, I'm telling you, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I met with the living God, with the Spirit of God. And in a moment in time, he revealed to me his calling, his purpose, his plan. And I am following it with all my heart. And listen, God didn't do that just because, you know, Paul was an apostle. Listen, he did it because he was a Christian first, and secondly, God had a plan for his life. And in that respect, there's no difference between him and you, because you also are a Christian, a believer, and you also have a call in life. So I want to talk about three things here in the last few minutes, important revelations that's needed. Now, these are things that we can know in our head. We can nod like this and all that. But I'm talking about moving beyond that into revelation. Listen, we know in Romans 12, it says, be not conformed, what? To this world. But be what? Transformed. Now listen, by the renewing of your mind. But when is your mind renewed? Not until you get a revelation. Because there is no transformation just by facts. You can know facts and still not have your life living out in conformity to those facts. Amen. There are doctors hooked on drugs. They can tell you all the facts. Isn't that true? You can have all kinds of facts. People, this is what happens many times to people who are what I call church goers. They go to church. They've got a lot of facts about God, but they have no revelation. And so in the time of test and trial, they cave in. Or after a while, it becomes old. You know, it just becomes stale and old. You know, man, I'm tired. I'm going to go to church again. We're going to pick up my Bible and read again. Y'all going to do what for 3 days? First revelation we've got to get. Number one, I am called by God. I am called by God. John 15. Turn over there real quick. I am called by God. Let's say that together. I am called by God. Let's do it again. I am called by God. Yes, you are. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you're going to get a revelation. Yeah. Amen. Verse 15:16 of John. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. So we're called by God, and notice in this also, we're called to be fruitful. God has a calling on your life, and that calling is what? To be fruitful in God. To bear fruit to His name. The fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, the fruit of love. All kinds of fruit. We read it over there in Galatians. You can read about the fruit. There's different kinds of fruit. You know, then the fruit that comes forth through your life, the fruit of righteousness. Where you live a godly life. He's called us. I'm called by God. You know what? Not in a prideful, boastful way, but you know what? That ought to cause us to, you know, to stand up tall. Amen. Bless God. I'm a child of God. I'm called by God. I'm called of God. God called me. God chose me. Glory to God. Talking about winning a lottery somewhere. I didn't even enter it and I won. God called me. God chose me. And you know what? He called me to be fruitful. You know what that means? Bless God, I can be. I can be fruitful. I can bear fruit. I can exercise faith. I can have a prayer life that is powerful and makes a difference. Why? Because God called me. Amen? He called me. Some things real quickly, and I won't be able to really get into all of these. I'll give you some scripture reference. 2 Peter 1:3 says He's called us to glory and valor. Boy, glory to God. Say, man, what is all? I don't know. Get in and find out. What does that mean, call to glory? Well, it doesn't mean just to call the glory of heaven. It means the glory right now. The glory of God upon your life. The glory of God, which is the attracting power of God. You know what? The glory of God on you makes you attractive to others. I'm not talking about some weird way. You know. But it does. Jesus had the glory of God on His life. It drew people to Him. It drew people to the message. It drew people to Him. He had the glory on Him. And the church is called. He said, you're called. 2 Peter 1:3 says, you've been called to glory. And King James says virtue. That word there really means valor. Glory to God. Be like, remember Prince Valiant? Anybody remember him in the old comics, man? Valiant. Pure of heart. Valiant. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, he's called us out of darkness. Out of darkness. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means I can be free. I can be free. I don't care what may be, have attached itself to you. I don't care what may be trying to bind you up. I've got good news. If you get the revelation about your calling in God today, that He has called you out of darkness, I'm telling you what, you're not going to need 49 hours and 56 people and 5,000 prayers to cast something out and off of you. Bless God, you're going to be free, because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The problem is, we only know it up here. We got to know it in here. We got to get the revelation in our heart. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says we've been called to holiness. Uh-oh. Boy, can't get more old-fashioned than this, can you? Talking about holiness. God's called us. Listen, you have a calling to that. Listen, I want to get the revelation of the calling, because you know what? That gives purpose for my life. If you don't get a revelation of the call of God on your life, then you are going to live out your life in just that low, relevant manner. I'm going to pay the bills and pay the mortgage and I'm going to vote and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and all that has its place. But listen, that doesn't give you purpose in life. Revelation gives me purpose. Man, I'm called to be holy. I'm called to be pure. I'm called to be set apart to God. I'm called to have the glory of God upon me. I'm called to be fruitful in God. I'm called of God. Amen. He says, we're called to liberty. Galatians 5, verse 13. Mark 16 says, we're called what? To cast out devils and heal the sick. We're talking about getting a revelation of the calling of God upon your life. You know, sometimes, you know, we get a revelation of the call of God of other people. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good thing. You know, we look at, you know, different ones that, you know, have a platform, and we see them. You know, we look at the Copelands and the different ones, or whoever, you know, or you know, different ones, and we can see the calling of God upon their lives. We can see that there. You know, we see them preaching to great crowds. We see them teaching the word, or whatever, however their ministry is, and we can see that. But listen, you can have a revelation just as sure about your calling on your life. Why are they doing? Why are people like that doing what they're doing? Because they've gotten a revelation. They've gotten a revelation of who Jesus is in them, and they've got a revelation of what they've been called to. Second thing we got to get a call to, I am anointed by God. I'm not only called, I'm anointed. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You are anointed. You are anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say it again. Because if you don't know this and you haven't been saying that, that's going to sound strange in your own ears. Oh, I'm not anointed. So-and-so, she's anointed. I know brother so-and-so, I know he's anointed. You know, I know this pastor in such and such a place, I know he's anointed. I know I've seen this prophet, and I know she's anointed. But here's the thing, as wonderful as that is, you need to get the revelation of this. You are anointed. What is anointing? It's just divine ability or power from God to accomplish His call. You know, this thing we're talking about, you're called to, we're not asking you, God's not asking you to do that in your own strength. He says, you first of all, you got to, what, get the revelation of your calling. Then you got to get a revelation, what? That God's anointed you in that. He's anointed you in that. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Notice He used the word us. He anointed us. Paul didn't say he anointed me. He said he anointed us, writing to the church. And so if God anointed them in their generation, then he's anointed us in our generation. But here's the thing. We have got to get the revelation of it. Once we do that, we will stop being tossed to and fro by every little shifting wind and current of circumstance. And the devil does some little thing over here and we get all uptight. And the devil does something over here and we get all offended. No, we will be settled. We'll be settled. I know my purpose. You can't move me off of it. I don't care what anybody says, what they do, what the devil says. Bless God, I know God has called me and God has anointed me. And I have purpose. And I have God's divine ability. Listen, whenever God calls, he always anoints. Listen. We're not just talking about God calling you, you know, as a preacher or something. Bless God, he's called you as a part of the body of Christ. And I mean, there are many other things we could have talked about his calling for you. But I'm telling you what, this will probably do for a while. Get the revelation of it. How did Paul and them get the revelation? Man, they were in times of praying and waiting on God. Sometimes they fasted. They just waited. They listened. And then they got the revelation. God has called me to be an apostle. God has sent me to the Gentiles. And you know, it's interesting if you read the life of Paul, especially in the book of Acts. Whenever Paul, and how many of you know Paul was just a man? He wasn't God. He was just a man. He put his toga on just like you do. But notice, there was an occasion, especially in the early part of his ministry. Remember when Paul kept trying to go to the Jews? Remember what happened every time he went to the Jews? Oh, man, he got nowhere fast. Isn't that true? He didn't make any converts among the Jews. You know why? That's not where his calling was. That's not where his anointing was. God says, I've called you to the Gentiles. And after, a few knots on his head like we've done, Paul said, hey, I'm just going to go to the Gentiles. And when he did, of course, what? That anointing began to flow and he had much fruit that he brought forth. And it's the same thing with us. If we will get a revelation of the calling of God, that we're called, and some of these things I've mentioned, that we're called to that, and we'll understand that where God calls, he anoints, and we begin to walk that out, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to see God's a divine ability released in our lives. Amen. You're out there on the job, and you're just doing what, you know, making a living. Doing whatever it is, or you teach, or you're building, or whatever it is, you're administrating, or whatever your job is, you're doing that. But you realize, man, I'm called. I'm called of God. I'm called to make a difference in my generation. The glory of God's on me. He's called me to lay hands on the sick. He's called me to preach this gospel. He's called me. When I know that, then as I have opportunity and I begin to touch people and I begin to encourage people and I begin to speak a life to people and words of hope to people, and all of a sudden that anointing begins to flow and it begins to touch them. And all of a sudden they begin to melt. Their heart begins to open up. And you know what happens? They get a revelation. It wasn't because you were such a great preacher and you convinced them. You know what it was? It was you walked into your calling. You flowed in your anointing. And a revelation opened up into their heart. And man, you know, sometimes, you know, they don't even know what happened to them. You know why? Because it's not up here. They might begin to weep. I just feel different. I don't know what's going on here. What's happening? I don't know what's going on with me. Why? Because it's a revelation. Jesus is being revealed to them. You know, in the last thing, we talked about called, anointed. Here's the thing. You're appointed. You're appointed. The word appoint means to select or designate to fill a place or a position. 1 Corinthians 12:28 teaches us that God has set every one of us in his body. Are you listening? every one of us. And with every calling is an anointing. And with every anointing, there is an appointing. We have an appointed place. And I don't mean just, you know, in per se, just here in a meeting like this, although it goes there too. But he's talking about in his body. And you know what? We're going to leave in just a few minutes. We're going to go out, every one of us, going to our own way, home, wherever we're going. Then this week, we're going to be out doing, living our lives and doing that. But you know what? He's got things, a time appointed for you. He's got people that you're going to be appointed to run into. You know, Gary, you're going to meet people this week that I won't meet. You're going to see people, everyone. You're going to see people. I'm going to see people that you won't see. You know, there is an appointment. God has appointed us. And as we follow Him, we live out our lives. God brings us into times of appointment. Appointed times, meeting with people, intersection with people. It may be to pray for them. It may be to encourage them. It may be to share Jesus with them. It may be to water seed. It may be to plant the seed, or it may be to reap the harvest. But we have divine appointments this week, divine appointments for our life. And when we know that we're called, and when we know that we're anointed, then we will be ready for those divine appointments. And God will use us wherever we go. That's where the life and the beauty and the joy and the majesty and the power of the Christian life come forth. Amen. Oh, you know what? This is just a filling station on Sundays. We just come in here to get filled, to encourage one another, to get edified, to worship God, to, you know, to be in the presence of God, to get recharged, refired. And man, here we go. But listen, your appointments are out there. Your appointments are out there. He has appointed us for specific things. Turn real quickly, Acts 22. Acts 22 and verse 10. You know the story, the background here. Saul of Tarsus, he hates the church. He hates Jesus Christ. He's persecuting the church. He is zealous about it. He's on his way to Damascus. He's got letters of authority so that he can seek out any believers there and put them in prison. I mean, you know. Man, this is one tough Pharisee. Man, you talk about legalism. Paul was he was the creme de la creme. And that's what he said about himself, wasn't he? He said, I was, of all the Pharisees, he said, I was blameless in keeping the law. He said, boy, man, that's something, isn't it? Because you remember those Pharisees Jesus talked about? He said the Pharisees were so, legalistic and assiduous at keeping the law that they would even count the leaves on their herbs and pluck 10% of the herbs off. Boy, you're talking about some legalism. So that's what this man is. It says, you know, King James says he went breathing fire. I mean, he was mad. He was convinced he was right. And here he is. Here's this man, legalistic, got all this going for him. I mean, Pharisee of the Pharisees, one of the tribes of Israel, learned in the law, given authority to go get the Christians. He's mad, man. He's ready to get them and kill them. Bam! Something happens on the way. He gets a revelation. Verse 6. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go to Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned, appointed to do. Oh, boy. In a moment in time, Paul had a revelation. He's going this way. Bam! Now he's going this way. And listen, That didn't just have to do with salvation. That was part of it. But it also had to do with the call and purpose of God for Saul's life. And you know, some of us have had that revelation about the Christ as Savior. But you know what? Some of us need to get a hold of that about the calling, anointing, and appointing of God for our lives. Amen? Amen. So listen, there is, you know, in Galatians, it talks about it. It says that until we reach a certain level of maturity in the Lord, he says we are like children who, although all the inheritance is ours, we are under tutors. You know, we're under teachers until the time appointed of the Father. Now, what's the time appointed of the Father? When we get the revelation of the calling and the anointing and the appointing of God. You say, Pastor, how do we get that? Well, you can't buy a book and get it. You know, I don't care what anybody tells you. You know, just like today, I'm trying to exhort and encourage you. But, you know, this thing we're talking about, it's caught. It's not taught. It's caught. And here's the thing. You get this book and you get into your prayer closet just like Paul and Barnabas had to do. God, you know, God didn't say, I got such a great calling for you. I'm just going to give it to you. No, they had to what? They had to get along with God. And you know what? You and I, each of us, we got to get along with God. We got to get a hold of this. You know, and I think the first thing is, you know, we've got to want it. I think that's the big difference, isn't it? Paul and Barnabas, these guys, evidently, they wanted it. I want to know the calling. I want to have the anointing. And I want to enter into my appointing in God. I don't want to just drift along, you know, nice little Christian drifting along, saved and going to heaven. And that's wonderful. Absolutely. Sure beats going to hell, don't you? Amen. But here's the thing. There's more. There's more that God has for you. And there's more that God wants to do through you. But first, something has to happen in you. You've got to get a revelation. Let's stop trying to be relevant. And let's become people of revelation. People who, the Bible says, those who know their God. In the Old Testament, there was a word there, the word yada. Not yoda, but yada. Yada, Y-A-D-A. And it meant this. It meant, the connotation was almost like a chance encounter with someone. In other words, you're going along, and all of a sudden, you have an encounter with God. And you know, the prophets understood this, that truth came out of revelation. In other words, they had an encounter with God. God revealed himself to them. And then that revelation, what? Became taught as truth. That, you know, they didn't put God under a microscope. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah, God's eternal. Write that down. They didn't get a telescope out and say, man, God's big. Write that down. No. They met God. They had a revelation. They had a divine encounter. And once you get that, glory to God. It'll light your wood. It'll light your fire. And you can enter into your calling. Amen? I mean, like me, I want to be revelatory, don't you? You want to live and walk in revelation? That's what I want to walk in. If that's what you want to walk in, stand to your feet. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray with you and over you. Hallelujah. A revelation. And of course, remember when we started our lesson, we said the first revelation that everything else is built on is this revelation, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. So the first thing is you got to make sure you got that revelation down. Make sure you got that in your heart. You got, you know, like what Brother Oral Roberts used to put it this way. He said, a revelation is like this. He said, it's that you know, because you know that you know that you know, because you know that 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 you know. You know? Isn't that right? So you get that down and you get that settled. But then there comes that place where God wants to expand that and build upon it, as it will, to your calling. What is your calling? Your calling in God. What is that? What has He called us to do? We read some of the things He's called us. You know, and I've always found it's better to just start, you know, with the things you do know. And then as you progress, all the other unknown things, God will reveal to them. Isn't that right? But we can start with the things we saw from the Word. And there are many others that you can dig out for yourself that God's called us to. And out of that, He will be revealed through our lives to others. Would you just, if you wouldn't mind, just lift your hands for a moment. I want to pray for you, pray over you. Father, I pray over this body, over everyone here, Lord, that there will not be one that does not have the revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God, sent down from heaven, manifest in the flesh, gave His life on Calvary, paid and purchased us from the enemy and from sin, was raised up and is now seated. Lord, I thank You. You said whoever calls on the name of that Jesus, he will receive salvation, the revelation of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And Father, I pray for all the believers here this morning. Lord, I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will operate in us and through us, O God. That we will be people who live out of the revelation, the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we will take the time to wait upon You, to seek You, and to listen to You. Father, I thank You for hearts that are open, open, open. Open our hearts to revelation of Your calling, of Your purpose, individually and collectively as a body we call grace. Oh God, reveal Yourself to us and reveal Yourself through us as we go about our divine appointments this week. Lord, help us to remember we are anointed. The anointing of Jesus is upon us and flows from us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank You for the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation in all of our lives. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank You, Lord. Your purpose and Your plans, Father, they are our pursuit to know You and to make You known. Thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for Your grace upon us all. Thank You, Lord. Now just take a moment and listen to what the Holy Ghost may speak. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. What He may reveal. Thank You, Spirit of truth. Thank You, Spirit of revelation. This is so important, Lord. We take a moment, just a moment longer to wait. Speak to our hearts. Reveal, oh God. Reveal to the young people. Reveal Your calling. Reveal Your purpose. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? Sure. We're going to pray right now. Of course, I'm sure everybody's looking at the weather, you know, what the storm that's going up there. We're going to pray concerning that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as the body of Christ, we come together and we lift up our voice. And I thank you, Lord, you've given us authority in the earth. And Lord, we're praying, oh God, against this storm. We pray against it. We know this is not the will of God. This is not the will of heaven. You said that you've come, Jesus, Father, to give life. You said only the thief comes to kill and destroy. And that's what this thing is destined to do. And so we come against it. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come against this storm. We come against it in Jesus' name, Father, that it may dissipate, that it may weaken, O God, that there will be no loss of life, O God, in the name of Jesus. We come against it. We pray, O God, out of revelation. We do not pray from scientific fact, but we pray from the revelation of the Creator God. The earth is the Lord's. You've given authority unto men. We come against this storm, Gustav, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Deliver the people there in New Orleans. Deliver the people there, Father, on the Gulf Coast. Deliver them with a mighty hand. Deliver them, O God. Deliver them. Oh, we pray for deliverance for those people, O God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, church. God wants us to be people of revelation. I believe this. You know, if the revelation of God is flowing from us, then I'm going to tell you what. You're going to be relevant. You know why? Because you're going to have the answer to the need. And that's relevant. Isn't that right? That's what it's about. Isn't that the thing about Jesus? Wherever He went, He had the answer. That's the way I want to be. Father, thank You for this wonderful time together. It's been so rich and so good to be in Your presence, to be with the wonderful family here at Grace. Lord, bless every family here. Those, Father, that may be out of town or different things. Lord, we speak a blessing, blessing, blessing. And above all, may the Spirit of wisdom and revelation flow through us and from us, that we may be a blessing to our generation. Oh God, I thank You for my brothers and sisters. May they have a wonderful, wonderful, mighty week in God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.